This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Which brings us to today's edition of Contenders and Pretenders. So, let's go ahead and start with the teams that we saw last night. Ravens and Chargers, both contenders?
I think the Ravens are a legit contender. I think the Chargers are a pretender.
Really?
I don't think that's a Super Bowl contending team. They're a good team, good solid team, and I give Jim Harbaugh credit. He's sort of that modern-day Parcells. He brings you credibility, stability immediately. And I just don't know talent-wise if they measure up. Like, I know fans and little meme clips all over social media are killing Quentin Johnston, their first-round wide receiver, who stinks.
Yeah.
He can't catch the football.
He had a sure touch on that crosser.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that would have been he could have done cartwheels into the end zone if he had caught that, but he did not.
So I think they're a pretender. They're
five targets, zero catches.
Light years ahead of the Patriots.
Like, you know, Patriots wide receiver draft.
Said that in the crossover with the end of that second quarter when the Ravens go for it on their own end, on fourth and one, then go right down the field and score on that pretty touchdown pass down the left side, and then Herbert gets the Chargers in place with 2 seconds left to Fitzy's guy, Ladd McConkey, for a field goal. That was like, there's no way the Patriots could do either of those things right
there.
True, And that showed me, like, okay, those are the haves in the league and the have-nots. But no, Chargers, I think, are a pretender. And by the way, 3-0 now for John over Jim in their meetings for their career. John Harbaugh's team is a contender.
Okay, I tend to agree with you. I think the Chargers are good. Contending for a Super Bowl this year, though, I'm not quite there. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers? They're 8-3.
I think they're a pretender. I think this is what Mike Tomlin does. Good, not great. Sort of the story of the bulk of his career when he didn't win the Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I have faith. Like, can I really have faith in the quarterback position? Russell Wilson, like, is he really back to where I'm going to pick him to beat, let's say, Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or one of these guys in a key playoff game? No, I can't do it. Their defense, I think, is pretty good.
Their defense is the best in the AFC.
Their wide receivers are nuts. We sort of talked about that the other day. The latest generation of crazy wide receivers there. So I think I would put the Chargers and them on the same level.
Okay.
Like, to me, that would be a good opening round playoff game, those two, to earn the right to then advance to the next round and play the real contenders. But I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are a pretender.
All right. I don't think we have to ask you about the Chiefs. We know they're contenders.
Absolutely.
How about the Buffalo Bills?
By the way, if the Chiefs weren't the Chiefs, they'd be pretenders. But they're the Chiefs.
If the Chiefs didn't have Mahomes, right.
If they weren't Mahomes, sure. Reed, and the two-time defending Super Bowl champions, and
if they weren't that, they wouldn't be 10-1 this year.
That's no, I know, but if I just based it on a team that had that record in those types of games, I'd say you're the biggest fraud pretender in football. but it is Patrick Mahomes. It is Andy Reid. It is the Chiefs. So they're contenders. Who'd you say next?
Buffalo.
Buffalo is an absolute contender, and this is just because I'm a homer simp for Josh Allen. I love him. I don't love their coach. I don't feel good about them. So we got Allen and Jackson still trying to get over. Not Allen Jackson.
Not Allen Jackson.
But Josh Allen.
Or the attorney for Karen Reed either.
And Lamar Jackson trying to get over the hump, right? They have to get over the Mahomes, get to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl hump. They're really good. They're MVP candidates. I think Josh Allen is having a special season potentially, and I think Josh Allen could absolutely put together a Super Bowl run.
Buffalo is the hottest team in the AFC right now with a 6-game win streak going. I don't think there's too many. There's no other contenders in the AFC, do you think? Houston Texans, Denver Broncos, the other 7-win teams, do you consider either of them contenders?
The only one that I think is a weird contender if they somehow snuck in.
Miami?
Nope. No, but
Cincinnati.
Close. Yes. I just think
Cincinnati stuck on at 4-7 right
yes,
now.
Yes,
so
but when I
it
see
would take some doing, but yeah.
Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase doing their special things, and I say, if they made the playoffs, could they not do that a couple weeks in a row? Like, they've done it twice to the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
They've put up, whatever, 500 yards just to that one connection. They're a team that I just wonder, could they get hot at the absolute right time? So I would put them as a sneaky, don't want to play him kind of contender pretender.
Okay, let's go over to the NFC then, where there are the two hottest teams in the NFL are the Detroit Lions and the Philadelphia Eagles. Are they both contenders?
Absolutely. You know, could Philly implode?
Philly's won 7 in a row. Detroit's won 9 in a row.
I have less faith in Philly because I think the coach is weird. And
Detroit's got a weird coach, too.
Yeah,
he's a good coach, but he's a weirdo.
Weird coach that works for them and their city and their team and everything. Have you read some of the numbers that the Jahmyr Gibbs combo
Sonic and Knuckles you're talking
yeah,
about?
Has put up. Like, they're doing historic things at the running back position there.
Yeah.
And I think that's rooted in, A, nobody likes the pick. Like, what are you doing? Jahmyr Gibbs with the whatever high pick it was, 12th pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, but that is rooted in offensive line, Campbell, what we believe in. We're, like, I think they are all in. The Eagles have maybe the best player in football right now, Saquon Barkley, and a boatload of talent. But I still don't totally dismiss when the going gets tough, are Sirianni, Hurts on the same page and capable of overcoming adversity when the metal hits the road there, the rubber.
When the metal hits the road.
I don't know. Some road, some metal,
like
some
a
rubber.
Car accident.
Yeah, maybe that's
there.
What they're going to have metal hit the road instead of rubber. That's the
all
problem.
Right. Moving on down the standings, the Minnesota Vikings, contenders or pretenders?
Pretenders. Nice season. Like, they're in that next tier. Like, that would be a fun tournament. If there was a secondary tournament for Pittsburgh, the Chargers, the Vikings, I think that'd be a fun little tournament you could put together.
Okay.
But none of them are with the big boys.
Green Bay, 8-3.
They are young and they are dangerous. I really think that in the right run, if they get hot, they like Josh Jacobs has been a nice addition to that backfield, just churning out another Josh Jacobs season. They have all the wide receivers, which Brady says is great because you don't have to feed anybody. You got all these young mouths and they're all just ready to eat like baby birds.
Yep.
I like Jordan Love. Could I see them go on a run? Sure. I'll put them in the, can I have the next tier though?
No, it's pretender and contender.
Okay, pretender.
All right, they're pretender.
It's not tiers. Wrong show, Hart.
How
it's
about
not tier Tuesday on Jones and Keefe?
How about the suddenly reeling Washington Commanders who have lost 3 in a row?
Pretenders. Absolutely pretenders. And they never should have been contenders. Rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Did you really think Jaden Daniels was going to turn everything around that quickly? Plus, I think guys like Cliff Kingsbury and Dan Quinn, they need to prove that they are like coaching horses you can ride in the big game kind
agreed
of thing. So, pretender.
All right. Anybody else in the NFC that you consider a contender? Seattle, Atlanta, Arizona, Tampa Bay, the Rams, the Niners.
Can I put the Rams in that Bengals category? Whatever category I created. They're
sure
pretenders, but pretenders that could get hot. They have the quarterback. They have the receivers. And you know how much I like their young defensive guys?
Mm-hmm. You don't put the Niners in that category?
No, not really.
Hmm.
Did you see the numbers on the Niners? So,
which numbers?
Their plus total yardage, the amount of total yards they are plus on the season, is up there with they're like between the Lions and the Bills or something. If you look at the list, the whole list, the records and the power rankings match the list, except the 49ers are way up top and not winning football games and aren't a good football team. Like, it's weird. So, no, I don't trust. The team just feels like this is a jinxed season for them.
It does feel that way with all the injuries they've
Whereas
had.
Whereas I feel like the Rams are coming out the other side of their issues, and they could get hot at the right time. If they're in, I wouldn't want to play them.
Okay. They currently have the same record. So just to recap, there are five contenders in the NFL right now. So saith Andy Hart. They are the Detroit Lions, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills, and the Baltimore Ravens.
So what Super Bowl matchup are you rooting for? Because I get an easy one.
I'm rooting for Buffalo-Detroit.
Absolutely.
Buffalo-Detroit is what I'd like to see. Or Baltimore-Detroit. I'd take Baltimore in the Super Bowl, too.
I'd take
Jackson
Lamar.
Getting one, I think, would be cool.
But yeah. The whole story of Buffalo has never won, Lions have never won.
Yeah.
I think Dan Campbell is as likable as anyone, and Josh Allen is as likable as anyone. Mm. So I can root for both of the... It's a Super Bowl where I guess I'll probably pick somebody at some point during the two-week lead-up, but I'd probably go in happy with either team winning it, right?
Probably, yeah, which means it's going to be Chiefs-Eagles, which is just Murphy's Law at this point.
And then I'm rooting for...
The stadium to collapse like in that Batman movie where Heinz Ward's running and the whole stadium collapses behind them.
No, we don't want that.
No, we don't? Okay. What are you rooting for, then?
I don't know. That's a good... I think I'd be rooting for history. I think every Patriots fan hates me right now, which right now, I've been hating you for decades.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think I'd be rooting for the Chiefs and Mahomes in history and all-time greatness and Andy Reid and everything they could accomplish.
I'll tell you what, I hate the Eagles more than I hate the Chiefs.
Me too.
I've always hated the Eagles. So like, I definitely...
The Eagles fans were douches in Minnesota.
They were.
Absolute douches. They made my son cry. I'll never
Did
forget
they really?
That for that. Yeah, kind. I mean, he was kind of being a baby, but...
Oh. Did they say something specific to him?
Yeah, they were like chanting in his face or whatever.
Okay. Well... He's got to toughen up a little bit. I mean, that's part of being a fan there.
He was a little younger. He was emotional. His team lost. He's a pink hatter because his whole life has basically been winning, and he goes to the Super Bowl, and they lose.
That sounds like they're building character. That's all I hear.
That's right. Character. Well done, Ball.
617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones. Noah is down in Miami, Florida. Hello, Noah. How you doing?
What's going on, guys? First, I just want to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving if I don't speak to you then.
Right back at you, friend.
Perfect. Just want to talk a little bit about the Pats game on Sunday. Me, I'm in Miami here. I was at the game. So I just want to know, who do we think we blame for the tackles being out there? Because either false starts or holding on every play. That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing, Drake May, I think he has great upside. But right now, how much better would it be if we just send out Jacoby Brissett? He sat behind him for the rest of the year. Because this offensive line, he's going to hurt his confidence. It happened with the Tagovailoa kid down in Miami. He turns into Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady whenever we play against them, by the way.
So right, that's true. Up. Yes, he does. Noah, what do you think would be worse for his self-esteem? If he continues to have a tough time behind the O-line or if he gets benched?
It's a great point, actually.
Thanks.
So I think, probably his self-esteem if he gets benched. But now we also have the risk of injury because if you go down the schedule as well here, I mean, you're going to see some pass rushers who aren't going to they're not going to be so friendly. Bosa. Mm-hmm. I mean, Von Miller could heat up at any second.
Yeah, I guess so. Thanks for the call, Noah. Appreciate it.
That Tua kid in Miami, when his confidence was down.
Yeah, that kid down in Miami, which is where he is.
And he's a kid.
That's true. Thank you for the call, Noah. We appreciate it. Nice to be reaching the younger demos.
Absolutely. You know? Call anytime. I thought that was a good call.
It was a good call.
Now, the question that I want to answer is the first one.
Take that over Stephen Fall River. Call any day.
Ooh, shot at Steve. Call in to defend yourself, Steve.
He already called the midday show. He can't call anymore today.
Oh, is that the rule?
It's the rule I just made up. Yeah.
Okay. Who's to blame for the tackles out there false starting?
Elliot Wolf.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Jerod Mayo told you on the Greg Hill show, without telling you, that I have no other tackles. What do you want me to do? The guys on the practice squad clearly aren't ready. Your big guy, Caleb Jones, clearly isn't ready. I have no one else to put out there. I had one guy, so I put him out there. I can't replace all of them, and that is 100% on the debacle that was created by Elliot Wolf. He doesn't have any options to turn to because everybody agrees Vidarian Lowe should have been benched.
Yep.
Ross Tucker, he's our expert witness at middling-level offensive line play, mm-hmm. right? He says he's got to be benched. He's not going to get better. You don't fix that. There's no curing that. There's no coaching that. He agreed with Jerod Mayo, basically. He said it in different words, but he basically said when Jerod sends these guys out there, there's nothing he can do, and there's nothing he can do except put somebody else in. There's nobody else to put in. That's Elliot Wolf's problem.
Yeah, here's Jerod Mayo saying that, by the way. In case you missed it yesterday morning, he was asked this question by Chris Curtis about if he had a different roster, would he coach differently? Listen.
Jerod, I just interesting because I feel like you may be coaching differently if you had pieces to sub in for guys that were making mistakes. Is that just a fair blanket statement without calling anybody out in particular?
That's a fair assessment.
Mm. Now, that's, first of all, a shot at Vidarian Lowe, but it's really a shot at the depth on this team and the lack of it on the offensive line. And sometimes, you know, injuries are part of that. Or guys quitting the team after 2 weeks in the season.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Or just guys not being good. Your draft picks not being able to play or move from right to left tackle or whatever the particular problem is. They've had basically every problem on the offensive line this year. They've had injuries to David Andrews. They had a guy quit the team. They've had guys who they picked off the various practice squads and the waiver wire who just didn't work out. It's been a bleep show. I mean, it's been a bleep show on the offensive line this year.
Isn't that Murphy's Law?
It is. Like, anything that can go wrong has gone wrong. Yeah.
And you started crappy, and you gave karma the ability to screw you, and karma's screwing you. Like, it's going to go wrong. Murphy is screwing you, and there's nothing he can do about it, but he's the one that's in the crosshairs.
Right.
Because some people do believe that falls on the coach. That's an undisciplined football team.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, he's got to be better. That would never happen under Bill Belichick. I kind of agree, because A, Dante Scarnecchia would have somebody else ready to go.
Yeah.
One of the greatest things Dante ever did in his time here wasn't coach the starters. It was prepare these developmental practice squad
Ted
guys.
Ted Karras is of the world and these other guys. Right. Maybe it's a bad example. He wasn't practice squad, but I know what you're saying.
Right. Lower level guys that you're like, oh, he came in and the wheels didn't fall off. He's capable. Now, maybe there's a hint of Scott Peters there. Should Scott Peters have your guy, the mountain of a man, Caleb Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Should he have him at least ready to compete on an NFL field? I don't know. I don't know how bad that guy is. I've never seen him play or practice, what his skills are. But I would also say
he's bigger than Trent Brown.
Oh, yeah, he's massive.
Like, he's the biggest player maybe ever.
And, and I would argue, again, this is Elliot Wolf's area. Why is he here? If he can't play, if he's not good enough to play when the wheels are falling off the starters, then get somebody here who can.
Good point.
Who you'd at least try. Now, I do think Jerod Mayo said today that Caden Wallace is getting real close day by day, or I forgot exactly. He's on injured reserve. He could be coming back. He was the Penn State right tackle that Elliot Wolf tells us. They all told, oh, he could play left tackle. So, but he's sounds like at least a couple weeks away from being an option for Lowe. So Elliot Wolf, you push Jerod Mayo out there without enough tools in his toolbox. That's the reality.
Yeah, that's what happened. And he's now starting to make that known in so many ways. That's a fair assessment. It's basically, you know, my roster's not very good. It's almost like, you ever read The Far Side, the comic strip?
Yeah.
Remember that one where it's like a bear and he's in the sights of a gun? And it's like he's pointing at the bear next to him. He's like, yeah, how about this one over here? That's basically what Jerod Mayo's doing.
That's
he's the bear pointing at the at Elliot Wolf, the other bear, trying to get the hunter to point the gun over there. And I think that's sort of where we're at right now. I don't know.
Beauty of the internet.
Yeah, right? See, isn't that it's basically what Jerod Mayo's doing. If you know that comic, then that's it. But I think that this is sort of what it comes down to now. As we heard from Adam Schefter and other people now, is this going to be something? Is this season so bad are the Crafts going to look at this season as such a disappointment that they decide, okay, someone's got to pay for this. And in the offseason, we're going to have to make it right. I mean,
absolutely.
I think,
even now, I don't know what level.
Kraft started the year saying we're not expecting too many wins this season, but even so, you take the lumps week after week and end up with four wins and some ugly losses and not really a linear improvement. And I think those are the questions you have to ask.
And I'm not necessarily calling for this guy's job. I'm not an expert in this area. But to me, the easy one there is Scott Peters. The offensive line, we didn't have guys ready to play. The offensive line looks bad on the field. The offensive line was a problem all year. I think Scott Peters is an easy fall guy.
Yeah,
you know, Chris Carter says you got to have a fall guy. I feel like Scott Peters and Tyler Hughes. Those two positions, feels like the position coaches, the wide receiver position coach, Tyler Hughes, and the offensive line coach, Scott Peters, could pay the price.
Yeah, they probably could.
Fair or not?
Definitely not, by the way. Okay. I don't think that's fair at all. To throw this all on the position coaches? You know, you got a problem with personnel. These guys maybe aren't great at coaching up practice squad players and making them ready to be NFL starters, but that's not necessarily their fault or in their job description. You know, like, they're not given much to work with here at all. And I think that in general, that's a big ask. To throw all that on them and say, hey, you know, we really expect you to take these guys who aren't really NFL players and do what Dante Scarnecchia used to do, one of the legendary position coaches ever, is just, I mean, in their first year, that's a lot to ask, and then to punish them for it, I think, is really sort of whistling past the real problem.
But it's what they've been doing. So Dave DiGuglielmo was in here post-Scar or between Scar eras.
Yeah.
They got rid of him.
They won a Super Bowl, and then the next year they got rid of him. Yeah.
Billy Yates, Adrian Clem, Matt Patricia, if you remember, was handling some of the offensive line duties.
How could I forget?
Now Scott Peters. Mm-hmm. It's like, is it always a them problem, or are you not giving them anything to work with? And I think it's a very fair question.
Yeah, 100%.